Today we are reading from Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as firstfruits for God and the Lamb, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second following, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat at the on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city. Blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. So going back to verse 1, you have those on Mount Zion with the Lamb, the 144,000 that had his name and the Father's name written on their foreheads. And it's likely that this is the same 144,000 that we read about in chapter 7. And so that would be just a figurative number that represents the redeemed, those that are secure, those that had their salvation by the blood of the Lamb. Again, this is not, you know, some select group or special group that stand above the rest of the saints, but just that figurative number. Verse 2, you had the roar of many waters, sound of thunder, drawing for us a mental picture of this deafening and frightening sound coming with this voice. But then there's an abrupt change. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, so something pleasant. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures, before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. And it is these who have not defiled themselves, specifically stating with women and were virgins. And I don't think that's to be taken literally. We're talking about a figurative context. And so that figurative representation talking about virginity would be a spiritual relationship. Their spiritual relationship was pure and had not been defiled. And so they follow the Lamb wherever the Lamb is going to go. That's because he is their good shepherd. He is their savior. And he is the one to whom they have given their allegiance, and certainly not to this beast that we've been talking about. Then we begin to see these three angels The first one, flying directly overhead with a gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people, saying, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of judgment has come. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea of the springs of water." I think that this angel proclaiming this gospel is just a matter of being symbolic of God's messengers, His saints that have been preaching the gospel to the whole world up to this point. And what he says in verse 7 is sort of a summation of the gospel. Fear God, give Him glory, and worship Him. And that's, in essence, what the gospel does say. The second angel comes forth and cries out about Babylon, saying, fallen is Babylon the Great. And we've talked previously, both in our readings and in our class on Isaiah, about Babylon as a nation, but also Babylon as a figurative representation of the heathen nations, those that would draw others into idolatry. There may be a reference here too to Jeremiah 51 and verse 7 that says, "Babylon has been a golden cup in Jehovah's hand that made all the earth drink. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad." So you have two things. You have the wine of the fornication, of which all the nations have drunk, and you have the wine of the wrath of God, which He shall give to drink, and that is His retribution for all that has been done. Then comes the third angel in verse 9. If any man worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or upon his hand, again, we're still talking about figurative language, symbolic references. Some people want to look to today, to some of our technology, and try to say that these are the mark of the beasts that are being mentioned in the book of Revelation. But that's not so. Anyone who does not follow God is following the beast and therefore gets that mark, just as the saint gets the mark of God and Jesus on him. Verse 10, there's still this wine of the wrath of God, mixing in the cup of His anger, full strength, be tormented. And so those that drink this are the same ones that worship the beast, so their outcome will be the same as Babylon mentioned previously. And so this righteous indignation of God, this wrath against those that would commit spiritual adultery against Him, those that would chase after the beast instead of the wholesomeness and the righteousness of God, are going to drink of this cup of wrath. The fire and brimstone is not new. We understand the lake of fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You got fire that was rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, along with other prophetic references talking about the wrath of God and this idea of fire. Then verse 11, the smoke of their torment going up forever and ever, no rest, they that worship the beast and his image and receive the mark of his name. And so it'll be like the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah that were set as an example, you know, that it's seen and it's evident. Just as much as the righteous receive that glorious reward of heaven and that glorious existence with God and enjoy that night and day forever and ever, so likewise will be the wrath of God poured out upon those that worship the beast. They will likewise be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, verse 12, referencing the endurance of the saints, keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Verse 13, another voice from heaven, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." The Spirit likewise saying the same thing, they may rest from their labors. And so the three former message delivered by the angels are completed, and this voice is unrevealed. It's just some heavenly origin. And so the reference is to those who die in the Lord. For whatever reason they die, I mean, it could be that they died because they were followers of God, but it could be that they died of natural causes. It doesn't really matter. If they were following the Lord and doing His will, then they would have the reward of that heavenly existence. Then we have this vision of the harvest and the grapes of the earth and the sickles. The language introduces a new section here. And so John sees this white cloud with someone sitting on it, likened to a son of man. course, we know white is the symbol of purity and holiness, but it's unclear really whether that's what is meant by the cloud or just an understanding that it's far above or high above in the heavens. Verse 15, another angel comes out of the temple, calling with a loud voice, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So this is a scene of the end of time, just represented in this fashion. We understand the concept of a harvest. There was numerous times in which God taught us in such a way. For example, the parable that Jesus spoke of the wheat and the tares, in which they would wait until the harvest time to make that separation. So we understand this concept of the end of time represented as a harvest. And so for the rest of this section, what we're seeing is just a depiction of that harvest and the concept of going through the earth and reaping those things. And the harvest being ripe doesn't necessarily mean everything's acceptable. It just means that it's the time of harvest has come. And so verse 16, the earth was reaped. Verse 17, another sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar. The one had authority over the fire and called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth." And so he swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress had trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia. So this idea that those that have been under the wrath of God are being harvested and then put into this winepress of the wrath of God, and as high as a horse's bridle, but then a stadia would be about 607 feet, so this would be some 184 miles. And it's not really that important about the number here, but just a depiction of how great this wrath was going to be and how terrible this coming upon those that were worshiping the beast, those that were not had their allegiance given to God. Thank you for listening today. Please continue to pray for all of us. Please continue to pray that the pandemic is as light as possible, I suppose you could say, but that we do not suffer any ill effects here in Burnet. We've been very fortunate so far. So please continue in prayer, and God will be with us all. Thank you.